Paul had said, put off the deeds of the old man. We saw that last week there and back in verse, I believe it's verse 11. Or not 11, but back in earlier in the part of this chapter, in verse, let me find the verse. In verse 5 he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And this is the way you walked at some time, and put off all these also, anger, wrath, malice, and lie not one to another, have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And telling us here in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. This message, and I would have liked to have brought this message in the next service as I was going over it this morning, because it's a family sermon. It's a message to God's children, to his family. But we're going to look at it this morning, just us. He says here in verse 12, put on therefore. The one we are to put off, the old man. The other we are to put on. Both take effort. They take effort. One is the works of the flesh, as I just read to you. And the other is the work of the Spirit, which is what I'm about to give you. This is the work of the Spirit. And he says, put on therefore as the elect of God. He's not talking to a bunch of unregenerate people. That's why I said this is a family sermon. It's to God's children. It's to you who believe the gospel. This is to us. And this has to do with our walk now. You know, in the earlier part of this letter, Paul set forth the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. In creation, in salvation, in the church, and in us individually. But now he's telling us as his children how we are to act. And this is, you know, how we are to walk. And he calls us here the elect of God, chosen of God, born of God. This is who he's speaking to. He's not speaking to the unregenerate, because, listen, you can't put on something you don't have. You can't put it on. An unregenerate man has none of these things. They have none of these. They can't put it on, but you and I can. And we are to do this. This is what we are to give our attention to as we pass through this life, as we grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice here how Paul describes the elect of God. Holy and beloved. Holy and beloved. Made holy in Christ and beloved of God. That's hard even put into words, other than just to say it that, just to say that. God has to give us an understanding. Beloved of God, loved of God. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. He first loved us, it is written in the scriptures. We didn't first love it. He first loved us. Loved of God, a love that's undying, a love that's unchanging. Our love changes now, I'm telling you. We can grow cold. God's love never grows cold. It never diminishes. Ours is like up and down, because of our sinfulness. But God's love is a holy love. It's an undiminishing love. It's a never-waving love. It's constant, and it's holy. And he calls us the beloved of God, loved of God. And then Paul gives us those things that we are to put on, those things we are to seek after, we are to give ourselves to. And the first one he says here is bowels of mercies. These things that we're going to look at are the things that identify us. Bowels of mercies, a real heartfelt pity for those who are down and out. I mean a real genuine empathy and a heartfelt pity for those who are down and out. Bowels of mercies. Kindness. Not just feeling it, but showing kindness. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is, one of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And the kindness that He works in us is not just for us personally. It's not just for me personally. The kindness that He works in me is for you. It's me being kind to you. It's me showing mercy to you and you being kind to me and showing mercy to me. Put on these things, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, which is a total opposite of the kind of mind we used to have. And we still struggle against. We still have to struggle against it. This is opposed to being high-minded. This humbleness of mind will enable one to think of others better than themselves. It's sad. We got to be reminded of this. You got to put it on. It's like every morning when you get up, you've got to put on the clothes you're going to wear for the day. And as believers, every day we put this on because we are so prone to laying it aside, aren't we? By nature, we're so prone to forget these things. He says here, you put these on, and you put these on daily. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Henry said one time, we miss some of the greatest blessings by not being a blessing. We miss some of the greatest blessings by not being a blessing. And then meekness, long-suffering. You know, our Lord was meek and lowly to perfection. To perfection. That defined Him. Sinners felt comfortable in His presence. He sat down and He ate with them. That doesn't mean He sat down and carried on with their foolishness. But He sat down and He ate with sinners. This man, they said, one of the charges they brought against Him was really a compliment. This man receiveth sinners and He eats with them. I'm so glad He does, because this morning, I pray that He receives us sinners and eats with us this morning. Meets with us. I truly do. I want Him to be with us and be in this service and be the leader of this service. And then He says in verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. The word forbearing there means this, putting up with. Sometimes we just have to put up with one another. Sometimes we have a bad attitude for that day. We get up with a bad attitude. What's the old saying? You got up on the wrong side of the bed? And that's what He's saying here. Putting up with one another and forgiving one another. Patiently endure wrong. Praying and waiting for God to make things right between us. And He's speaking here between us, the church. You know, James said, in all things we offend. We get offended and we offend. And He's telling us here how to handle it. Forbearing one another. That's what God does. God forbears with us. He forgives us. Forgiving one another. Putting the matter out of mind. Let it go. I mean, that's the easiest way to put it. Just put it out of mind and let it go. If any man have a quarrel against any. And I've seen this over the years. I've seen believers get odds with each other. Sometimes personalities kind of, don't mix it. But He says here, if any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You do the same thing as Christ has done for you. He's forgiven you. And on that basis, we forgive each other. On that basis, we let it go. I'm so thankful God lets things go. And He doesn't call me to task for everything. but so merciful. We wouldn't even, I mean, chastening would never let up if he didn't, would it? It would never let up because we do not love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body. I wish we did. I wish we had believed with perfect faith, but we don't. We don't. But yet the Lord doesn't deal with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. He's merciful to us. And on that same basis, he said, that's the way you deal with each other. That's why I said this is a family sermon. Christ is the standard. This is good. Christ is the standard by which we measure all our actions. Not somebody else. I'm not the standard. You are not the standard of you dealing with me and me dealing with you. Jesus Christ is the standard. He's the standard by which we measure our actions. And above all these things, above all that's just been said, what's been said? Well, he said here, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, lowliness, forbearing one another, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Now, above all these things, here's the only thing that's going to make these things work. This right here is the only thing that will make all the above genuine. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love. Love one another. Love, which is the bond of perfectness. It's the bond. There's no stronger bond than love. There's no stronger bond between God and His children and between His children, us, each other. There's no stronger bond than love. Love is, you go over there in 1 Corinthians in 13, it endures all things. It thinks the best. It thinks the best of one another. You know, if we really love one another and somebody says something that's probably shouldn't have been said, love will say, they didn't mean that. No, he's just having a bad day. And you go on, you think the best of one another when you really love one another. Now, you can mark this down. Somebody says something that maybe they ought not say, then you get mad and you're ready to slap them or say something back. You know what I mean. Love's not present. Love is not present. That's flesh against flesh is what that is. A spouse who constantly runs down their mate does not love. Does not love that mate, him or her. If they're constantly finding fault, love is absent. It's not there. Fault finding comes from the absence of love. You remember whenever over in Song of Solomon, when she's describing the Lord, he's altogether. He's altogether lovely. When there's real love, you look beyond those human faults, those old fleshly faults, and you love that person. And you're not finding fault. You're not looking to agitate and jab. And I'm telling you, when that happens, love is absent. It's not there. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let that rule in your heart. That settles a lot of things right there. It's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. When the peace of God rules in your heart, you're at peace. And I tell you what, when a person is at peace, that person is not trying to cause trouble. When peace is ruling in the heart, that person is not trying to cause trouble. In fact, that person is trying to make peace. Keep the peace, you might say. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Run everything else out. Run everything else out. To the which you are also to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be a thankful people. I honestly, other than against maybe myself, but other than that, I have nothing to complain about. Do I? I mean, I may complain about myself because of my sinfulness. I can complain about that to myself. But the Lord is, does he not do all things? What was it Joe said? He does all things well. He hath done all things well. I have nothing to complain about. Be thankful. I like being around people that are thankful. Thankful people are not complainers. They're not. Thankful people are not complainers. When you hear a complaint going on and on and on, thankfulness has left the building. It's not there. Let this be what rules our hearts, thankfulness and peace. Our Lord said in the scripture, he said, my peace I give unto you. I give you my peace. He made peace with God on our behalf, and he gives us his peace. Now, that's more than just a real feeling. That is a real, that's a settled state. I mean, we feel the peace, but it's a real settled state of peacefulness because it's the peace of Christ. It's the peace he has. And there's nothing that can take the place of a peaceful heart. That's a heart at rest. That heart's at rest in Christ. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Dwell in you. Make much use of the word of God, like we are right now, verse by verse. Make much use of it. Not just read it, though we have to read it, and we ought to read it, must read it, desire to read it, but to eat it, to digest it, like you do your daily food. Don't read the word of God like you read any other book. Read it with this attitude. Speak, Lord, through your word as I read it. Speak to my heart. Give me understanding. Because he says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Give me understanding. I ask the Lord this every time I study to pray or to preach here. I ask the Lord, give me understanding of thy word and of the message that I'm to give. Give me an understanding heart of this. I don't want to just stand up here and say, well, this means this, but give me an understanding. Give me wisdom in dealing, preaching your word. And give us wisdom as we read the word. Give us spiritual nourishment out of your word that we may grow by it. As he says here in verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Teach and admonish one another. Look after what he's telling us here in verse 16 is look after one another. Look after one another spiritually. As the old saying goes, I have your back, you have my back. We have each other's back. That's what he's saying. Teach, admonish one another. And do this in psalms and hymns, what we're going to be singing here in a little while. Spiritual songs. Believe me, a whole lot of what's being sung today are not spiritual songs. They're money makers. They're money makers. Anytime someone makes videos, these music videos, it's nothing, it's for money. It's for money. That's what it's for. It's not for spirit. There's some, not many. There's some who do sing, you know, Mike made a tape some years ago of spiritual songs. but not for entertainment. Not for entertainment. Singing with grace in your hearts. Now listen, to the Lord. I said this to you the other day, or a couple of weeks ago. Our singing is to Him. It's not just singing. We're singing to Him. Here in a little while, we are going to sing again. Let's sing as to Him, because we are singing to Him. Let us instruct one another and look after one another, witness to one another. This is to be our life as we pass through here. This is our life. And whatsoever you do, well, Paul's getting right down. He's getting right down to what I've heard said, the rubber meets the road. Whatever you do, this covers everything. This covers absolutely everything. Whatever you do in word or deed, whether it be inside this building, outside this building, in the community, at work, wherever, you know, whatever it is, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do what you're doing in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, whether it's work or pleasure. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're His servant. You're His ambassador. Wherever you are, wherever I am, I'm His servant. I'm His child. I'm His ambassador. And whatever I do it in His name. Let everything we do be done for Christ's sake. If we cannot, then we don't do it. In other words, whatever we do it in honor of His name. We do it in a way that honors His name. We do it under such conduct that His name is honored. Because there's so much sin in us, we can sure bring reproach real quick. I know. I have it. I have enough of it in me to turn it the other direction. Everything we do, we are to give thanks to God, the Father, by Christ. And we are to do it in a way, in a manner that's honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after giving us all the above, Paul gives us the order of authority and conduct in the home. He gave us our conduct with one another as a body of Christ. And our walk. This is our walk. This is our conduct with one another in Christ. Now he's going to talk to us about our homes. Now he's coming to our homes. But now listen. If the above is not present, what he's given us here is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. As it is fit in the Lord. We know that the marriage of a man and a woman is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that's given to us in Ephesians. It's a picture of Christ and the church. The church is to submit to His authority. The church respects His decisions or His judgments. The church admires and loves Him, right? And he said, this is the way a marriage is to be. This is the way the marriage is to be. Among believers. He's not talking to the world. This is not to the world. This is to us. The world's going to do what they're going to do, but we have an order. We have a set order given by the Lord Jesus Christ. The wife, he says here, is to submit to her husband because God said so. This is the order of authority that God has set up in the home. It says, it is fit in the Lord. That word means right. It's right. It's right. It's right to do as the Lord has said. As long as it does not violate the word of God, as long as it does not violate the gospel. He's not telling us to do whatever, you know. I mean, if your husband's a thief and he wants you to drive the car, tell him you go drive it. I'm not doing that. You know, it's not, you got to keep it within reason. But other than that, in the home, the husband is the head of the house. You know, I think one of our greatest problems in today's society is this thing of total independence and individuality. The scripture says when two are married, what do they become? One. They melt into each other. A believer and Christ are what? One. We melt into Him. We melt into Him. But we don't, this in society, no, that's, they want their own individuality and independence. No one wants to depend on someone else. No one wants to follow someone else. They don't want to do that. The world can do whatever it wants to, but this is what the Lord's given to us. He's given this to us. Now He says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Be not bitter against them. Love your wives. This word love comes into play again here. Blessed is that home that is established in love. The first example that the husband should be in the home is an example of love. That's the first example the husband is to be. And I'm telling you what, it is not hard to submit to someone you love and to someone that loves you. The husband is to love his wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He's to look after her. He's to protect her. He's to do everything he can do to take care of her and love her, look after her needs. Has our Lord not looked after ours? Does He not meet our needs? Did He not give Himself to die on the cross for His bride? He sacrificed Himself. And this is what we're to do. Husbands, love your wives. You know, I was thinking of this morning as I was going over this. When Paul wrote this, most of the marriages at that time were prearranged. They didn't even know each other. A lot of them, I mean, they may have known each other because most of them were relatives. But they didn't know each other in a way where they had dated and, you know, like that we do here in America. A lot of them were prearranged marriages. And they learned to love one another. They learned to love one another. And I never thought of that before until this morning when I was looking at this, when Paul says, husbands, love your wives. Well, a lot of them had to learn to love their wives because they really didn't know them that well. And don't be bitter against them. You know, it's... Love thinks no evil. Love thinks no evil. Go and read, for us husbands, if we want to know how to really conduct ourselves in love, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the conduct of love. And that's the conduct that a husband should show to his wife. And then children. He says, children, obey your parents in all things. In another place, it says, oh, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Because there are some things you can't obey. You know, there are some bad parents out there. There's some bad parents out there. And they've had their children to do bad things. And he says, no, you don't do that. You obey them in the Lord, that which is right. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Happy is the home where everyone walks according to the word of God. I know this is very rare. It's very rare whether you have a home where a husband and wife and children believe the gospel. Young people in the home, they believe the gospel. That's very rare. But Paul gives this here. He says, children, obey your parents. Submit to their authority because God's given him that position. Submit to their authority in wisdom. They've been where you are. Parents are not old fogies. They may be old, but they're not necessarily fogies, whatever that word means. I have to look that up. I don't know what it means. But there's wisdom that if you follow it and listen to it, you'll save yourself a lot of heartaches. You will save yourself a lot of heartaches and pain. You don't want to experience everything. Take my word for it. There's some things you just better off not to experience. Listen to wisdom. Go over there and read. It's over in Proverbs where Solomon says, son, give me your heart. I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, son, give me your heart. Listen to me. Listen to me. Take my instructions and bind them around your neck. Bind them to your heart. Listen to me. I can save you a lot of pain if you'll just listen to me. Parents give to their children, good parents, give to their children the best instructions that could be given. You know, my mother was in the hospital here about a year ago, and she was having a heart problem. And they was wanting to put a pacemaker in her chest. She didn't want to do it. She was refusing it. But she needed to have it because, I mean, she was really having problems bad. But she can be stubborn, and she was not going to do it. So I called my sister. She was there at the hospital. And I said, ask Mom, if I were laying in that bed, ask her what she would tell me to do. She said, I'd tell him to do it. I said, well, then you tell her to do. Just exactly what she'd tell me to do. Because I know that we give our children the best advice. Children, obey your parents in all things. Because you know here, listen, Paul's writing to the church. He's writing about godly parents. He's not writing about unregenerate parents. He's writing about godly parents. And he said, now you obey them. They look after you. And listen, this was the first commandment with a promise. You know that? Obey your parents and you'll live long on the earth. Honor your mother and father is what it said. Honor your mother and father, and thou shalt live long on the earth. That was the first commandment given with a promise. Now he turns, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. It's like, boy, I can't do anything right. You know, I had a good father. He was not mean, but man, was he tough. Oh, man, was my dad was tough. Strict as could be. And it was more than once that he provoked us to anger by being too strict. He was too strict. My dad was afraid to say yes. He always said no to everything. Can I go over there with my friends? No. Can I do this? No. That was no. We'd always tell Mom to come in there, and Mom come back and said, he said no. I mean, it was just an automatic thing. But I learned as I grew up that saying yes comes with responsibility. And Dad was afraid to say yes because of what could happen. And he wasn't able to take that kind of responsibility. I know now, looking back. You know, when you say yes to your child, to your children, that they can go here, go there, do this or do that, you've got to take the responsibility of saying yes. because whatever happens, happens. It's in the Lord's hands. But he says here, fathers, because fathers are the head of the house. In God's home, they are, in God's house they are. They're to be the head of the house, and they are the ones who can provoke by too much. Too much. My dad said he got a whipping. His dad whipped him one time so hard he whipped him like a mule. He said, and he came back, and his first time his father ever apologized to him, but he said he liked to kill me. He whipped me so hard. That's provoking to anger. Don't go that far with it. You know, we can only go so far with discipline, and it's going to be what it's going to be. You can. God said to Israel, why should I discipline you anymore? And I'm going to paraphrase. Why should I discipline you anymore? You'll just revolt more and more. And I do know this by experience. The harder he whipped me, the madder it made me, the more I revolted. It never broke me. It just made me that much madder. And we got to, and that's why he says here, don't break their, and here's what he's saying, don't break their spirit. Don't break their spirit. I jotted this down this morning. And I thought this, they need to be strong to face the world. They're going out there into the wolves. That world will eat you alive. Don't break their spirit to the point where they go out there and they're like little lambs that they'll get eat up. Don't break their spirit. Let them have some backbone with respect. Put it that way. Backbone with respect. His fathers, provoke not your children to anger. And servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. God made him your masters, now obey them. And he says here, in all things. You know, I know I'm going a little long here, but this is so necessary because these are the areas we really fail in. We don't fail in believing election. We don't fail in believing the doctrines of grace. We fail right here. This is where we fail. Servants, obey your servants, obey in all things your masters. And here's how we're to do it. Not with eye service as to men, please, but as singleness of heart to God. We're working for Him. I'm employed by Him. Look at it that way. God is our real master, and He says, obey those that He puts over us. You know, He may put someone over me as a trial. You know, I can look at that person. Not with anger, but I can look at it as a trial of my faith. You stamp trial on that guy's forehead. Said, here comes my trial today. And I obey. In all things. Of all people who ought to be obedient, it is us who've been saved by the grace of God. Now, I'm going to close. If all the above concerning the new man is not put on, what I first read to you, none of these other things are going to be present. To truly submit and obey takes a work of God in the soul. To do it willingly, submissively, and with the right attitude, that you're doing it as unto the Lord, not as unto men, but you're His servant. You and I are His servants wherever we are. That doesn't mean you're going to be like an old shoe and be walked on all the time. It doesn't mean that at all. The last place I worked before I, well, not the last place I worked, but the time before I started my business, the men wanted to walk out on a strike. They was going to walk out on the street. And they came to me and asked me to walk out. I said, we're walking out at noon. I said, well, go ahead. They said, you're coming out with us. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'll walk into the office with you, and we'll go right in there to that plant manager's office, and we'll sit down and talk to him, but I'm not going out there on that street. And we walked in, they all walked in with me to the office. We sat down and got that whole thing settled in less than an hour, and it was over with. And everybody went back to work. I was not going to submit to that kind of conduct. Because all that, I told him, the only thing you're going to do is you're going to build a wall that neither one of us can get over. We're not going to build a wall that we can't get over. I said, but you'll put him on the spot. And he'll have to talk to us. And they were in the right with what was going on. I said, he'll have to talk to us. And that thing got worked out. It got worked out. In verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it with your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. Let our actions, and I'm going to close with this, let our actions be a true indication of our heart. And let it be done as unto the Lord. Our actions are, now listen, our actions are the true indication of what's going on in the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right.